Today's the day. Thank you all for being here, coming out this morning. Coming on June 15th, it looks as though the state of California will be removing the majority of the COVID restrictions that we've been enjoying over the last 15 months.
Amen.
That means on Sunday, June 20th, 2 weeks from today, we'll be able to move back inside of our building without any major restrictions. While there are so many benefits and positives to being back inside, I hope that we as a church never forget the lessons that we've learned and persevered and grown through over the last year and a half. There's a reason why the Israelites celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles year after year. It was good for them to remember, even to spend time in the tents for a week, to remember that time that they had spent in the wilderness. It's important for us to celebrate what God has done in our lives, especially when it comes through adversity. I was thinking about as Noah was playing this morning and sharing about that song, Holy Fire. And you sounded beautiful. Holy fire, burn away my desire of anything that is not of you. If you really contemplate those lyrics, there is nothing comfortable about that. Holy fire. Let's start there. Holy fire. Burn away. I don't know if you've ever been burned, but ow, it hurts. One time I was waiting tables and I had we have to like mop up, clean up afterwards. And so I had to move this hot water, boiling water to my mop bucket. And it sloshed all over my hand, my forearm and inside and outside. There's even still some discoloration to this day. I'm on my arm from the burn. And it just hurt for days. And we say willingly, holy fire, burn away my desire of anything that is not of you. It's not comfortable. Empty me. Like a pumpkin, right? Scraping and pulling and I don't know why jack-o'-lanterns have smiles on their face. Because they've been cored and scraped and pulled at. We've grown through adversity. We learned this in 1 Peter back in 2019. God was preparing us for what was to come by teaching us that our trials come in order to prove our faith genuine. Our last Sunday of 2019, we learned that the way to endure when we go through extraordinary circumstances is to be prepared in advance. Who knew that those extraordinary circumstances were just 2 months away? We learned in Colossians the importance of hope. And I mean hope, real hope, not I hope, not let's encourage ourselves with the possibility, but the archaic definition to have hope. It means to trust. It means to have certainty and conviction in our eternal life as promised by God. And it's that kind of hope from which our love and our faith actually originate. That when I have hope, when I have true, genuine hope, an anchor for the soul, then I'm free to love. I'm free to trust and believe. We learn that through our salvation that we've both died and raised with Christ. So we set our hearts and we set our minds on things above, on the kingdom of heaven, not on earthly things. And there's much freedom in looking at the things of this world when we've given our first consideration and our first allegiance to God's kingdom. And then in Philippians, Paul stressed unity in the body of Christ, that unity among the body was his greatest joy. Make my joy complete. Because when we walk together, we're freer to take on the example of Christ's humility. He shared with us to work out our faith with fear and trembling. That verse itself has been a stumbling block to many Christians. I'm supposed to work out my faith. I'm supposed to figure this out and be afraid. Why? To understand that definition, literally to work out your faith is like, I'm going to go work out. It means to exercise your faith. Give your faith a workout with fear and trembling. In the Greek, that's phobu kaitromu. It's a word pairing. Two words, fear and trembling, but they mean something different when placed together, like brick and mortar or bed and breakfast. And it means to pursue something, to give something your best attempt, knowing that you can't do it perfectly, but doing your best anyways. Exercise your faith, knowing that you can't do it perfectly, but you're going to give it your all. And then now here in John, he writes that this gospel is written not to tell stories about Jesus, but so that the reader might believe and have life. Believe and live eternally. Everything in this gospel is there as an example of how to share our faith and to follow Jesus' example of genuine love for all people. And this has brought us through to chapter 6 of John. And there in verse 27, he tells the people that have been seeking him out, the people that have been following him around, those that are working so hard to follow Jesus, no longer because of his miracles, but because he gave them food to eat. It was his miracles that he was doing. It was healings. It was his teaching. And then Jesus confronts them and he says, you're only following me because I gave you food. And then he tells them in chapter 6, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Don't work for food that spoils. You're striving so hard for food that it doesn't last. Even the manna didn't last. Came down from heaven. Even the manna wouldn't last past a day. He told them later, your ancestors ate the manna in the desert and they died. But strive, work for food that endures to eternal life. And this leads me to share with you our vision for the church as we move forward. We're approaching the third anniversary of Cedars Church. Can you believe that? Year 3 coming up in August. As a church plant, we're still building a church, but really any church is building a church, a body of believers who are the church. We should always be building the believers. We should always be building people up, not adding numbers in particular. How many people can we get this week? But we should always be building the body of Christ. What we should not be doing, and hopefully what we would never be doing, is simply doing church. Coming to come, coming for fellowship, coming because, hey, that's what you do. You go to church. Our goal from the beginning, from the time that we planted this church, in fact, even in my original write-up about what my hope was for Cedars Church, the vision for the church, was to have a church of people who truly believe that they are the church. And this has continued to remain my primary focus for us here at Cedars Church. Pre-COVID, we were beginning to see some real growth. We had a plan for future growth. We had actually some events put together. We had some ideas in place. All of these things got put on hold. Then with COVID, as it came in, as it finally had the lockdown and more things started happening, we saw some chinks in the armor. I hear talk about things going back to normal. When are we going to go back to normal? What COVID has shown us is that what the church has been calling normal wasn't good. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the church is all bad. But when kindness and grace are abandoned, when we see the setting up of earthly kingdoms and the honoring of earthly kings, we know something's wrong. During COVID, the hope was to see the church broken, brokenhearted, united, crying out to God. Instead, the church became politicized, right, rebellious, and unbroken. And the Spirit doesn't move well under those conditions, does it? But neither does it do any good for us to shake our finger and consider ourselves better than others for seeing things otherwise. When the Lord spoke to Hosea in chapter 10, verse 12, he told Hosea, "It's time to break up the ground that has not been plowed. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." It's time to break up the ground that has not been plowed. I assure you, we all have ground that has not been plowed. We all have parts of our lives that need to be broken up. If we want to be effective as the church, we need to address where we are hard. We need to be loving in all things, gracious, compassionate, for it is time to seek the Lord. We want to work for food that endures to eternal life and to encourage the whole church, not just Cedars Church, but all in the church to do the same. People need Jesus. But the reality is, in our church climate, the current church climate and the outside mindset toward the church, it makes it hard to reach out right now. Christianity is not super popular. Frankly, people don't want to hear it unless we ourselves come broken and broken up. Unless we bring true hope of the kingdom of God. We are ripe for revival if we begin with our own brokenness. When Jesus approached Jerusalem before his final week of ministry, before his crucifixion, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." And interesting to note, when he says, "how I've longed to gather," the word for "to long" is the same word for "and you were not willing." How I longed to gather you, but you did not long for me to gather you. How much I was willing to gather you, but you weren't willing to be gathered. But fact of the matter is, Jesus wants to gather people in like a hen gathers her chicks, even those who are not willing. He wants to gather them. There are people out there in this world that Jesus wants to gather in to his church. And he was speaking there to the people of Jerusalem. Jesus was. That meant that he was referring to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots. And he was referring to those who were faithful believers. And he was referring to those who were unfaithful believers or not believers at all. I want to gather you in. It's time for us as a church, as the church, capital C, church, to strive after that which is eternal and to make the invitation. In Matthew 22, Jesus told a parable about a king who invited people to come to his son's wedding. And on his invitation, the first people he invited were all the right people. All of the people that you would expect to invite, right? All of the people of note, all the people who were important, all of the people that, well, of course you're going to invite all of these people. Imagine, you know, if you've got a son or a daughter and you're imagining one day, you know, they're going to get married one day. Who am I going to invite? All of the people that you're going to invite. Now imagine that none of them come. Not one of them shows up. But I've got a whole party set up. I spent the money on the caterers. I did the whole thing. No one came. So instead, they put out a new invitation. And he invited all the wrong people. He went out and brought in the people that you wouldn't have expected. It would be like, we're having a wedding here, and it's my daughter's wedding, and I've paid for the event, and the food is here, and everything's ready to go, and absolutely nobody shows up, so then I just simply walk across the street to the police station and to the library, and I say, hey, who wants to come to a wedding? Free food. Free party. Come on out. Hitting up some of the homeless people that are hanging out over here. We've got a party. Come on out. No one else came. It's for you. Come on out. They're all the wrong people. But you know what? They came. We don't have to worry about who comes. We just have to worry about asking people to come. It's time for us each individually to do the inviting with humility, with mercy, and with an expectation that God will do wonders. It's not up to us. It's up to us to do the asking. It's not up to us to make them receive it. It's not up to us to make them come. But what we have to do is do it with broken hearts, with humility, with grace, with mercy, with an expectation that God can and will do wonders. It's time to get back to church building. It's time to take up the maturity that we've built up in this last year and invest as a whole body into our church. Remember, we're like that fig tree in Luke chapter 13. The tree that wasn't producing any fruit. The fig tree sat there in the vineyard, and the owner of the vineyard comes in and he says, you know what, I've been coming here for 3 years. There's no fruit on this tree. I'm tired of it. It's taking up space. Cut it down. And the gardener comes in and he says, you know what? Let me dig a trench around it. Let me break up the ground. Let me expose its roots. Let me dung it. And let's see what happens. And if we have fruit, excellent. And if we don't, cut it down. Owner of the vineyard says, make it so. But that gardener, he did exactly that. And that gardener represents the Holy Spirit. Guess who the fig tree is? That would be you. And that's been us over this last year, to have our ground broken up, to have our roots exposed, to be dunged. And there's been a lot of dunging. We've been dunged. But guys, I am so blessed to say we have fruit. If I've seen anything in this body, it is fruit. Growth, maturity. So many people in the capital C church, go to their little C church, and expect to have their little C church do all the work, to put on the events, to do the inviting, to have a marketing plan. How do you do retention? We go to the little C church to learn how to be the big C church. We come to church so that we learn what it is to be the church, so that when you are out there in the world, you are the church. So we don't produce fruit. We don't spend a year growing and maturing and producing fruit and then saying, well, you do it. Isn't that how it works? I come, you do. We produce fruit and we say, I got this. Striving after that which is eternal is committing to fostering a church where people who are invited and people who come feel welcome and a part of what we are doing. When the Israelites came back to the land after their time in exile in Babylon, the first thing they did was rebuild the temple. Now, compared to Solomon's temple, so they'd been gone, the temple was destroyed. It was torn to the ground. Even the foundation was torn up. And they spent 70 years in Babylon. And after that time in Babylon, they come back. But Solomon's temple, it was big, it was beautiful. It was shiny, it was gold. And now they're back and they're like, well, we're gonna do our best. And they laid a foundation and they basically built a box. It was gonna have to do. But it wasn't special, it wasn't pretty. It was meager, it was small. It might have even been a touch pathetic. Especially compared to Solomon's temple. But then the Lord spoke to Zechariah and he said, who dares despise the day of small things? Yes, it's a little temple. Yes, it seems meager. Yes, it's not as great as the temple prior to it. It's humble. It's plain. But then he spoke through the prophet Haggai. And he said, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Why? Because that is this simple, meager, plain, pathetic looking box of a temple would be the very temple that Jesus himself would enter into. It would be the temple where peace enters into. It would be the temple where the Son of God walked in. We may be small. We may be a little beat up. We may have held on through COVID and been dripped on by the rain and chilled by the cold. That was fun. But Jesus dwells in this church. And if he showed up this morning, I think he'd feel right at home. This is God's church. He's called us to it, to be faithful and desirous to seek him and his will. I certainly have no apologies to make for where we are as a church right now. Our people have grown, not just survived, grown. We've stood firm. We've remained loving and gracious and giving. We can rest secured that God has done a good work in us. We've been dunged. We've been pruned. And fruit has sprung forth. And it's time for the harvest of that fruit as we prepare to grow. The glory of that little temple would be greater than that of the first. So what are you asking us to do, Brett? I mean, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Get to the point. What's next? Number one. I'm asking you to be here. I'm asking you to be here. Every week, as much as possible throughout the next 3 to 4 months. Consider family trips. Consider events. Consider commitments. And some of us already, I know some of you are thinking, I've already got plans. Off to Korea. Good timing. Some of us have plans. Some of us have things that are already set up. I understand that. Look, one thing I'm not doing here, and one thing I don't do, is do guilt. Right? It's not about guilt. It's not about, oh, well, way to go. Right? Well, it's never going to be that. We have lives. We have worlds that we are a part of. But there is also a time that we need to say, okay, I'm going to give this time to the church. And if you can, if you are able to, consider instead of saying, I've got, you know, there's a family thing happening next Sunday. Consider telling the family. Think about this. Consider telling the family, hey guys, I'm going to be a little late because I've got church in the morning. We're doing something at church and it's good for me to be there. So you know what? We're going to be a little late and it'll be okay. I'm not talking about, you know, doctor's appointments and funerals and things that are like you really need to be at. By all means, be there. But if we can say, you know what? Church is important. This building of the church, it's important. There's a call right now. It's good for us to be here. I'm needed at church. My presence matters. When people come, might they be put off if we're running small? It's not about a show. It's about coming out in full force. It's about having the mindset, we are here. Q Horton hears a who, I guess, right? We are here. We are here. Our attendance presents part of who we are. And we can't just think, well, I know Brett's going to be there. Well, we already know the Corbins are going to be there. We need to be believing that we are all part of the whole. It's your job as much as it's my job. We're all here to be a benefit to each other, but also to be a benefit for those who come in and join us. We are here to be a benefit. Number two. I'm about to get really unpopular. Consider helping in the children's ministry. Come back. Carla's been teaching nearly every week. Pastor Phil is helping as well. She needs to be in church too. We could use the additional coverage. And this is an important ministry for people coming into the church as much as it is for you guys who take advantage of that ministry. I'm not big on programs, but if there's one program that is good for us to offer, we want to be sure that we have an opportunity here in this church to minister directly to our children where they are. Consider helping with the kids. Number three. When people come for the first time, say hello. Shake a hand. Repeat after me. Hi, my name is. Tell them you're glad that they're here. Learn their name. Remember their name when they come back again. Let them be inundated by the loving friendliness of this church. You don't have to engage in a full conversation. I know I'm saying this. We have a church full of introverts. and you're all squealing inside right now. Hey, go say hi. You can do it. Just take a moment and just say, hey, I'm glad you're here. What's your name again? So that when they come back and they say, and you're able to say, hey, Paul, hey, David, hey, Sally, it's so nice to see you again. They'll be blown away that you even remember their names. Even if someone else is talking to them, if I'm talking to them, again, you don't have to have a full-blown conversation, but if you walk up to them and if you say, hey, I just wanted to pop in real quick and say, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Bucky, I'm Phil, I'm Todd. Not the introverts. But if I said the introverts, then you'd all shrink again and say, you're calling me out. Why'd you call me out? This is me being nice. Make it a mission. Doesn't matter how much you don't like to do it. Sometimes we just need to do it. Someone comes to church the first time, they need to feel welcome. Not freaked out, but welcome. Number four, we need to be faithful in giving what we can when we can. Now, once we go inside, expenses are going to go up again. But we have good givers. Givers. Did I say that right? Givers. We have good givers here in our church. So I am not saying that, like, this is not a scolding or anything along those lines. I just want to put out there, we've got good givers, but we need to make sure as a church body that we're being consistent. Now, if there's any question on our position on giving, I encourage you, you can go to our website, to thecedarschurch.org/sermons. That's The Cedars Church. Don't forget the. And I'm just going to say something real quick here. I say that all the time. And I started feeling really weird about saying it. And then somebody said to me just the other day, is it The Cedars Church or cedarschurch.org? But they don't know who I was pointing to, so. The Cedars Church. The Cedars Church. The Cedars Church. Don't forget the. TheCedarsChurch.org/sermons. And you can go and find the message from the Gospel of Mark. It was our first, you have to scroll down a little bit. It was our first series that we went through to Mark chapter 12. And you'll find a sermon entitled, Stop Tithing and Start Giving. About the blessing of giving, but what the Bible really does talk about regarding the tithe versus the offering. It's an important message, I think, to look at and listen to. And so I encourage you to do that. If you're curious about our position on giving, I have never pushed anyone to give or required anyone to give or put stress on anyone here. So we're not after your money, but there's a real cost to meet here. And a real cost in giving to others. And we give to others. So I simply say we need to be, just simply remember that we need to be faithful in our giving. So again, there's a cost to meet here. We want to be sure that we are meeting that. And it's not expensive. I'm super, super cheap. I really am. So we have really striven to keep things as simple as possible here in this church. And not spend a lot of money. Like I said, I'm cheap. I'd rather give money away to people who are in need. So so there you are. Number five, strike up a conversation. At work, preferably not on the company dime, break time, lunchtime, at school, at the coffee shop, at home, with your family, with your neighbor. Strike up a conversation. Be willing to talk to someone and allow your faith to come into the conversation. Now, I'm not calling you to wear camel hair and eat locusts. right? Grow your hair long, stand in the preach corner and say, repent, right? I'm not calling you to do that. But if it is real, if it is true, if it is right, if it is important, if people need Jesus, if the answer to the question is Jesus. There was a teacher who was asking her kids, she said, in Sunday school, so she's talking about some stuff, and she says, okay, everyone, so tell me what's gray and has a bushy tail and collects nuts? And one of the little kids says, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel. The answer is Jesus. The answer to the question is Jesus. If people have a need, people come to you, they're struggling, they're frustrated, they're hurt, they're worried, they're concerned, they have COVID, somebody's died, there is something that is happening, there is a lack of faith, a lack of trust, their wife has left them, their kids are shambles, whatever it is, you all know it, you all know what the people are going, you all know what you're going through, and you know what your neighbors are going through, and you know what your friends are going through. The answer is Jesus. Strike up a conversation. Be willing to share your faith. But I'm not around anyone. I don't talk to anyone. Here's an idea. Post about your faith on Instagram or Facebook, social media, somewhere. About your faith. Be a light. Offer hope. It's not about debating. It's not about answering challenges. You can literally, I don't know if you know this, but you can actually leave debates and challenges unanswered. I don't have to answer that question. I don't know about that. I don't think I believe in that. Can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? That's stupid. See? Even the fire department liked that answer. We don't have to answer debates. We don't have to get into arguments with anyone. It's about love. It's about grace. People are hurting. We need to let people know that there's a Savior that they can put their trust in. So it's important for us. Look, you can post something, but you're like, all my friends are on there. I know, that's the point. I take everything that I am willing to talk about on the Cedars Facebook page or Instagram, and I've begun to just simply posting that on my regular Facebook page, and you know, everyone I used to go to high school with 40 years ago, I don't know how long that was, you know, they're all still there. Brett's still wacko, you know what I mean? But you know, it's all there. But you know what? When I see someone from that I went to high school with, or someone who grew up down the street from me watching on Facebook, mission accomplished. And when someone has an issue, a concern, a problem, a frustration, hey, let's talk Jesus. Be there. I say all the time, all I've got is Jesus. Share our church services or post a link to the sermon each week. Even if you're not there, even if you're in another country, even if you are gone for a while, share the messages, watch the messages, post the messages. Look, if you trust me, if I've shown you that I'm here to bring the truth and not bring division and not bring weird theologies, I say the hard stuff, I admit it, But not the devices. Well, maybe I if you trust me. Post it. You can simply share off of Facebook, or you can go to thecedarschurch.org/lyrics, or excuse me, /sermons. Again, that's The Cedars Church. Don't forget the thecedarschurch.org/sermons, and there is on any individual sermon, you can click a link, and it'll give you the exact link for that sermon to be able to share. Share it. Let people know about it. If it's moved you, let it move somebody else. If just one person watches, it will make the decision worth it. Be willing to engage people in our lives. Here, take them out to lunch. Listen to me. I'm very serious about this. Take them out to lunch. We'll pay for it. Take somebody out to lunch and tell them about Jesus. Bring me the receipt and we'll pay for it. I just made it easy. I mean it. Your lunch and their lunch. We'll pay for it. Square? All right. Number 6. Almost done. Invite people to church. Come every week with a no in your pocket. I got a no in my pocket this week. I asked someone and they said no. They got somewhere else to go, and that's good. And I told them, I'm glad you've got somewhere to go. It's not about our church versus their church versus somebody else's church. But come with a no in your pocket. We are the church. We're called to be changed, different, loving, compassionate. Everywhere we go, we are people of an abundant life as offered by Jesus in John chapter 5. Go back and listen to that sermon. People of an abundant life, people of peace, people of hope, trusting and confident in our salvation. If we care about others, let's invite them to church. It'll be more powerful and more meaningful than a concert event or a door hanger. Nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but that's not where we are. Invite people to church. As a church, we need to be willing to serve people in our community. Look, one way that we can reach out is to help meet needs. See what people need. Offer help. Offer a gift card. We'll pay for it. We can help with moving or fixing something. If we need to, we'll pay for it. Could you imagine the impact if your neighbor needs something fixed and doesn't know how they're going to get it fixed, and we're able to help out with that, or fix that, or do something about that? Buy them lunch, buy them dinner. We'll pay for it. But that is how we reach people. That is how we touch people's lives, where they are, where they're hurting. Our goal is to reach people not through programs. Our goal is to reach people through people. And that means you're the people. God's called us to be on the Great Commission, to raise people up through whole church discipleship. And this is people inviting people to come to our gatherings on Sunday. It's us being used continually, being continually equipped to reach people to come to Christ, who will become equipped and bring other people to Christ. We all have to work. We all have to work. But what are we striving for? Whatever we strive for on this earth stays on this earth. So we'll build up our treasures in heaven. Let our efforts be for the food that endures to eternal life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you start with us. It's painful. It's a holy fire. It's a burning away. It's a breaking up of the unplowed ground. It is a digging the trench and exposing the roots and getting dunged. But Father, you've done the thing. We see you, Lord. We acknowledge you. And we understand that you desire that people would be saved and come to Christ and be discipled and to grow. So, Father, I ask that we as a church would be able to take up that calling, to be able to say, like Isaiah said, here I am, send me, to serve you by reaching out to those who you would draw in like a hen gathers her chicks. And Father, I pray that you would give us the ministry. Jesus said, the harvest is ripe. Pray for workers for the harvest. So Father, I pray for us as Cedars Church, for the workers for the harvest. And Lord, I pray that you would bring that harvest. Give us the opportunity. Lord, we ask that you would present people, that you would give us conversations with neighbors, with the waitress, with our bosses or employees or whatever it is, Lord. Give us those opportunities, Lord, that we have the chance to be faithful. And Lord, none of this is about guilt, only about wanting to show you and tell you that we love you, to pursue food that is eternal. We want to seek your face in all things. Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we give you the glory. And in all of these things, no matter what happens in this church, Lord, may the glory be yours. No matter how many people come, may the glory be yours. 5,000, may the glory be yours. And yours alone. Father, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name, we pray. Amen.